You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, our weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio. We are lucky enough to spend a whole hour chatting with some amazing local women with fascinating life experiences. I'm Mandy Dineley and today I'm presenting on my own, but thankfully ably assisted by our lovely producer, Dave Jimitis. Thank you, Dave, who will be pushing all the buttons and playing the ads so that I don't have to multitask too much. So let's meet our guests. Firstly, we have Maz Pennington, who not only teaches Zumba, she has recently set up the Shabby Gourmet. She'll be talking to us about all things delicious, fresh, natural and healthy. She is also super stylish, so I'm not convinced that it is actually too shabby. Second on the show, we have Deborah Levitt from Bridge Road Consultants, who will be telling us all about her podcast and who should do them and why. I'm really excited about this as I listen to a lot of podcasts everywhere I go. Last but certainly not least, we have Shalini Bala of Just Joom, who is an expert in Indian culture and will be telling us all about her new book and how to overcome stress, beat anxiety and calm the mind. I'm really looking forward to finding out more about this with Shalini. So first of all, I'm delighted to introduce our first guest, Maz Pennington from the Shabby Gourmet Company. Looking, as I said, nothing like shabby. Hello, Maz.
Hello, Mandy. Thank you very much.
It is really lovely to have you on the show. What I'd really like you to do is, could you just give us a little bit of background about yourself and how you came about doing what you're doing today?
Okay. I grew up in Belgium. I've always been fascinated by food. One of my first proper jobs, other than babysitting and dancing, was working as a self-service waitress in a tiny restaurant. So I was backstage with the chef all the time, watching him cook, and up to my elbows in washing up water. So I never had any illusions that it was a particularly glamorous life. I stopped doing that, moved to England, came to university, studied law, messed that up royally, became a shoemaker for a while, but kept coming back to food all the time. I do the Stella and Dot, so I've started my own business there with their help.
Yes,
as an independent stylist. Before that, I did Pampered Chef, so I was going into people's houses and cooking.
So that leads really nicely into
absolutely.
The food side. Yeah.
So when we were looking for another business to start, myself and my husband, we kind of naturally thought of food. He grew up in a restaurant in Cornwall where his mother was the chef, so he's always been surrounded by great food. We just kind of
fantastic.
Entered into the food world. Yeah.
But it's been quite a long time. It hasn't just happened overnight.
No, it hasn't.
So
no.
When did you set up the Shabby Gourmet?
the name of the thing happened before the thing. I wrote a book with a lady who has a truffle hunter's dog score, and she phoned me up and asked me if I would write all the recipes for her if she sent me through truffles every week. So I said, yes, I will.
Oh, who wouldn't? Gosh,
so that was quite a nice truffles. Year. My husband was very disappointed that although he got all these free truffles, he had to wait until I'd photographed everything before he was allowed to eat it. So he had a year of delicious but cold food. I then had invited people to see my personal Facebook page because it was back before we really knew about business pages and so on. And I unfortunately swear quite a lot on my personal page. So my co-author had asked me if I could perhaps not swear so much. So I set up a professional page and called it the Shabby Gourmet, purely to get around the swearing. So that name came along. So that was the obvious kind of thing to call this.
I must admit, I absolutely love the name.
Thank you.
I think it's brilliant.
Thank you.
I really do.
But it's nice to have an excuse to use it properly rather than just as a, you know, little...
But
Facebook
surely
page.
It should be the shabby and stylish gourmet.
The stylish gourmet would be quite nice,
actually,
I should have thought of that.
But the shabby stays in your head,
yes,
I think,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And we try not to do it shabbily, but...
Yeah, no, yeah. You don't. Yes, I've seen some of your food. In fact, I've tasted some.
Yes, you have.
And it is absolutely delicious.
Thank
what
you.
I find about your recipes is that you do think outside of the box.
Yeah.
And you do add a lot of fantastic ingredients. And the names that you call your dishes as well. It's and the way that you market it.
Thank
it's so enticing. I mean, I'm forever hungry.
Yeah. I'm forever so, full, actually, because I think I eat with my nose the whole time I'm cooking. So by the end of the day, I'm not interested in dinner at all.
So who are you marketing to at the moment?
Everybody at the moment, because we're very new. We started in January, really. I'd mentioned to a friend of mine in December that I was going to start doing this, and she rang me up a couple of days later and said, you probably don't want to start just before Christmas because it's really busy, but if you do, I'll buy 12 portions of everything you cook. So I went, I think I'm in business. This was at about 10 o'clock one night, and I started researching freezers. By the next morning, I'd ordered one, which arrived the next day, and, you know, then we were in business, and that order paid for the first freezer. So we're trying to make sure that as we expand, we kind of do one thing at a time. So it started with that, and that's those are fresh, frozen, homemade, ready meals. So they're all cooked in small batches in our kitchen, using only healthy ingredients and no additives. I've been gluten-free since, for about over 20 years, so I naturally cook that way. Everything that we do is gluten-free, but you wouldn't know it because otherwise I wouldn't cook it if it was a poor imitation.
Yes, of course.
So we do that. So the healthy meals for very busy people or people who can't cook or aren't inclined to cook that evening, or people with fussy children who all want a different meal. That happens in our house. But then we've expanded further. So we're doing event catering as well. So we've done a couple of Indian banquets, and we're doing a big picnicky lunch tomorrow for somebody, Thursday rather, as a leaving do.
And so it just sounds so sociable as well.
It is. Yeah, we did a fun day on Sunday for the local rugby club.
Yeah.
So we actually set up a field kitchen and fed them all, which was brilliant.
And what did you cook on Sunday?
I did a big chili con carne. We were thinking rugby boys.
Yes.
And a chicken macaroni, butter chicken.
Oh, lovely.
So that they all went down very well.
I actually did see some images. I was having a look, and I thought, that macaroni chicken looked gorgeous. So where do you get your inspiration from?
Because everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. I read cookery books like as if they were novels. I then usually don't ever refer to them again. Kind of read it through, right, okay. And it's all gone in there. The internet is, of course, amazing because you can just look up an ingredient, find a load of recipes for it, think that sounds interesting, look up another 20 recipes for it, and then, you know, use all the bits that you like, put it together. I think growing up in Belgium as well, I went to the European school, so it had 10 different language sections. So my friends were Danish or Italian or Greek, and, you know, we'd go around to each other's houses. So right from the age of 4, we were tasting very different foods.
Exciting.
So that kind of piqued my interest as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. And I suppose it exposed you to a lot of flavours that a lot of people hadn't been exposed to at such a young age.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular, any type of food that you particularly love or you just...
Indian.
Yeah.
It's the best for me.
Me too.
Yeah. The use of spices is just unparalleled. You know, and French cooking is lovely, but, you know... I guess I grew up with a lot of that, so for me it's Indian cooking all the way.
And so you'll cook almost anything that you get asked for, or will you suggest what you're going to cook?
Yeah, we want to cook stuff that we know how to do, but I mean, I have cooked most things now in my life, so I'm fairly confident that I can cook anything for anyone. A nice thing that we're doing at the moment, which actually isn't an Indian dish, but is something that came into my head a few years ago. I read when I was very young in a Ladybird book that mince meat, like we have in mince pies at Christmas, originally had meat in it. That's why it's mince meat.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuck in my mind, that the Crusaders had brought this stuff back and it had meat in it. How does that work? That sounds disgusting. Thinking of a mince pie with a steak on it or something. That was about 5. And then many years later, I went to Israel and stayed with a friend, and she recommended that I go to this little artist's cafe. And one of the things on the menu were 5 different dried fruits stuffed with 5 different minced meats, and it was absolutely gorgeous. So I brought that back, and it kind of rattled around in my head, and then it met the idea of the... So I did this minced lamb with rose petals and chili, and
my goodness.
And it's
That sounds very, it sounds really cool, actually, as
it's
well,
delicious,
doesn't it?
It's delicious, yeah.
I love the way we're bringing flowers into food.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Which is fantastic, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's really good. So are you still doing, are you doing the fruits with the mince in, or are you
no,
doing
I'm
it,
not.
Your own version?
I'm doing, that's very much my own version. Yeah. That's yeah, that was very pretty, but very small, and this is kind of a yeah. more robust meal.
So going back, if we're allowed to go back, and we
yes.
will come back to Shabby Gourmet,
yes.
because we have to, but you have done an amazing amount of things. You've made shoes.
Yes.
So you can make shoes.
Yes. I trained as a shoemaker, or footwear designer,
yeah,
to sound more fancy. And yeah, worked making ballroom shoes and platform boots for drag queens.
And, yes, I did see that.
Yeah, yeah. So which was lovely. It was a great job, because it's very kind of it covers maths and physics, and you know, a shoe always has to be a wearable thing. Mm. So you can be as fancy pants designery as you like, but it's got to be a practical thing at the end of the day. Yeah.
So and you also do Zumba as well.
I
know you
yes,
teach Zumba to a great crowd of women and men too.
I used to have a few men, but they've kind of dropped by the wayside. I think they're just not men enough.
So do you think you need some more men,
but
mind you, for Zumba? But so all of this, all of your background, it's helped you to, I mean, including your stylist with Stella and Dot, it's helped you create your own business.
Very much so, yeah.
Confidently.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, learning how to use social media for marketing, that's something that really came from Stella and Dot. We get so much training in that.
Yeah.
And that's, without that, I'd be just in my kitchen cooking and nobody would know.
Mm.
So there would be no point in it, you know. So, yes, everything kind of all feeds into to everything else, really.
Yes, it
yeah.
does. I was looking at your website.
Really?
Yes, looking at your website. Again, getting very hungry.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you do it with your husband as
yes.
well, and you get your girls involved, don't
yes,
you? Because
we
you've
do,
got
yeah.
two
teenagers.
Daughters,
yes.
teenagers. Oh, my
yes.
goodness.
Yes,
and how do they... Are they very proud of what you're doing? They must be.
I hope so. Mm. I hope so. They seem to be. I'm sure they're quite fed up with it sometimes, because we do work all the hours.
Yeah.
And drag them around to, you know, events and things. But they, yes, they helped serving at the at the thing that we did recently. And they're going to do their level 2 hygiene certificates.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
That they can get properly involved.
But you see,
it.
I think customer-facing jobs are so important. And
definitely.
I think everybody should have a customer-facing job
yeah.
before they go out into the...
Definitely.
Into the big wide world. So I think what you're doing for your girls is fantastic.
Well, they're working in a cafe as well on Saturday.
Are they?
Separately. Yeah, one of the cafes that we supply, actually.
Oh,
so,
wow.
yeah, they have a Saturday job there that they share.
Oh, they share it between
yeah.
them?
Yeah. So
That's
if one
amazing.
Of them's got something to do with their friends, the other
yes,
one does it. And
yeah.
They kind of swap it.
Then they enjoy it.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. They were really nervous to start with. And they're sort of, oh, do I have to go back? I don't know. But once they'd done it a couple of times and they knew that they weren't going to muff up the orders
yes,
and everything,
yeah.
they do really enjoy
and
it.
And they're not
now.
Tempted to push your food.
No need, darling. It pushes
no,
itself.
No, of course it does.
Can't believe I said that.
No, it's true. I believe it. Well, no, I'm sure all of the food that they sell does. But,
yes.
But of course your food does. So I can see here as well that you do so many different things, and you've set up a drama group as well
have,
for
yeah.
children.
Yes.
I mean, how do you actually find time? As I know, I'm similar, but... You know, where do you grab that time then for a bit of peace?
It probably helps that I'm an insomniac, so I've got lots of time at night to do a lot of thinking. Grab some peace. I'm not sure...
You don't need...
I'm not sure I really do, actually. I think I'm lucky... If you're going to work sort of 14, 15, 16-hour days,
yeah.
7 days a week, you really have to enjoy what you do. And I really do enjoy all the different things that I do. I keep thinking, you know, if one of these things gets massively successful and takes up so much time, I'll have to give something up. What will it be? And I can't, I can never work out which thing it would be. You know, I kind of think, oh, you know, the Zumba is an hour of just dancing
yes.
and just...
That's more of a
leaving
release,
everything
is it?
Behind. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And everybody's smiling and dancing and
yeah.
your energy levels go up and everything. Obviously, it takes more hours than that during the week doing choreography and all of that kind of thing. But that's lovely. Cooking relaxes me. I love that. The drama group can be a complete headache when they all rattle out of school on a Friday full of beans. But the seeing some of the children who came to us were very, very shy.
Yeah.
And they were sent along because they were very, very shy. And actually, the reason that I started the drama group was because I looked around at a lot of drama groups, and it seemed to me that people do send their children to drama because they're shy a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then they were just learning to sort of sit in a corner while the confident kids played starring roles and they stayed in the chorus.
Yeah, that was quite interesting when I read that.
I didn't want to do that. And as a result, the change in some of the children is unbelievable.
So what you're doing with your cooking, Nev, it's very community. And I think that's what really does come across with you. Your everything that you do is involving the community, and you're part of the community.
That's true, actually.
What I've seen, and I think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you just before we go into, because we're going to have to close soon.
Yeah.
Do you source your ingredients locally?
Yeah,
if you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we've got a vegetable patch in the garden which fell into disrepair for a few years. What with life and everything, but we're resurrecting that, so as much of our stuff as possible will actually be growing. But yes, we do.
Lovely. I can't wait to see that then. You have to come back.
Yes.
You have to come back on the show.
As the shabby gardener.
Never the shabby gardener, I don't believe that. So what we need now from you, if we could, because we're coming to the end of our lovely chat. It's gone so quickly, hasn't it?
It has.
Do you have any advice to anyone who's starting out, just some quick snippets of advice, they're starting out a new business venture, and also how we can get in touch with you via website.
For starting up a new business, I think just do it, really. I know somebody else has already used that strap line, but yeah, just do it. Learning on the job is really the best way to do it. And just having the nerve to do it. If you wait until you do everything perfectly, you'll never get it done. My dad always used to say, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing badly for the time being. So just get on and start.
That's good advice.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
That's a really good advice.
And not that I do things badly.
No, but I like that. Just do it.
Yeah.
And then please could you share your website
where
people can get hold of you?
Yeah, it's nice, easy one. It's www.theshabbygourmet.com.
Thank you very much, Maz.
It's been
an absolute pleasure having you on the show. We'd love you to come back.
Love to.
We really would. We're now going to take a short break. Afterwards, I'll be speaking with Deborah Levitt from Bridge Road Consulting.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hair Mechanics is Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group, with two superior salons, one in the heart of West Byfleet and the second in the Bourne Valley Garden Centre of Addlesden. Hair Mechanics offers hairstyling and finishing, beauty and holistic therapies, nail treatments, tanning and electrolysis. For our office promotions, contact information and more, please see our website hairmechanics.co.uk or call 01932 350 877. Hair Mechanics, Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group.
If you're passing Walton Community Hospital or near the halfway in Walton, then pop into the hospital coffee shop run by the League of Friends. Enjoy a nice cup of tea for only 60p or a delicious cup of coffee for only 70p. Plus a range of sweets, biscuits, soft drinks, crisps, cards and sundries. We're all volunteers so we can keep the prices low. That's a coffee shop at Walton Community Hospital in Rodney Road, Walton. Open from 10am to 4pm weekdays and from 2pm to 4pm on Saturdays.
Brooklyn's Radio have teamed up with the Nomad Theatre Group to bring you Surrey Showcase, a new one-day performance festival coming this August, and we are on the lookout for the best talents that our local area has to offer. You could get involved with an act featuring music, dance, drama, poetry, comedy, magic, circus skills, the list is endless. But whatever you choose, visit our website www.surreyshowcase.co.uk to find out more information about the event and to sign up for your chance to join us and perform this summer. Surrey Showcase with Brooklyn's Radio and the Nomad Theatre Group coming this August 18th, 2018. Brooklyn's Radio.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Mandy Dynelly, and I'm thrilled to introduce our second guest, Deborah Levitt from Bridge Road Consulting. And welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you very much, Mandy. I'm really thrilled to be back with you.
It's great to have you back. Really, really good. We love it when our guests come back. So, Deborah, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to be in the technical and wordy world of podcasting?
Well, I came over from Canada far too long ago for me to want to mention. But from there, I started off, actually, I just kind of meandered over. I thought, oh, I'll come over, get to know my grandmother and see where life takes me. And through that, I went through actually doing secretarial temp work. I did some traveling. I worked in a bar. And then somewhere along the way, I started doing training, and that led me into project management. And project management is really where I landed and stayed for quite some time. But in the back of my head, I think I've always had this little yearning to do sort of voiceovers. And I actually went on a one-day course once, which was absolutely brilliant. But then when I looked at it, and I thought, okay, that's a super crowded market. And to try and, start up yourself, it was, maybe a bit complicated for me at that point in time. So I, went back to starting my own business, starting up, offering project management and planning to smaller businesses. And then just recently this year, I thought, well, actually, I could do a podcast because they're becoming very popular, very accessible.
They really are.
Yeah, and people are saying, very much that what people want now is to be able to listen. They want to consume it by listening rather than having to be looking at something or holding something to read. So I thought, well, why not? And I love speaking to people.
Yes.
So I just decided that I would start, and a business buddy of mine very kindly agreed that she would be my first guest. And she did some, testing with me to figure out how I could actually record it. And then I think I got a bit of a shock because I wrote to other people and said, would you consider being on this? And they said yes. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, so now what do I do? And I suddenly realized that I built this almost a beast, if you like, in terms of the overhead of trying to run it and everything, but still loving the fact of talking to people.
Yeah.
So from there, I've gone on to streamline a little.
See, I think it's a great idea because personally I do listen to podcasts a lot, and I'm very busy, like our previous guest, Mel, just a busy person, so I like to listen on the go. And I think podcasts, we're all consuming information, as you said, but we want to know how other people are doing things, and we want to know how we can do it. And I think what you're doing is perfect. I mean, what sort of guests do you have on then? Is it a wide variety?
They're all business owners. So in terms of, I guess, a niche or the type of person, they're generally business owners. Or it might be somebody who wouldn't see themselves as an entrepreneur because they think that they just are, running a business. But in reality, somewhere in the back of their mind, they are. And the goal is to actually share their stories. So one, we talk about what they do and what they're doing now and, what they offer to, whether it's clients or if they're a shop or something. But then the other side of it is to talk about their transition. So how did they actually get to where they are? Because there's so many people these days, men and women, who are starting their own businesses, and it's really easy to feel very lonely and isolated and to think that you're the only person who's having these problems. So to hear somebody who is, some people are relatively, well, are very well established that have been on, and to hear them talking about the same problems or that they're still encountering them or that they encountered them is really interesting. And people are then like, oh, that really resonates with me, and they can see that what they're going through is natural. So it's basically anybody. I'm trying to get a mix of different businesses and different types. So I'm really excited for next season. I've got a handbag designer. I've got...
Oh, really?
She's just won an award in New York, which is brilliant. I've got the owner of Two Ducks. Claire Lee is coming on as well.
Yes, I think
well.
She's been on Brooklyn's, or she should be anyway.
She should be, yes. So, really just a whole mix. And
So in a way, it is like a radio interview, isn't it? A podcast is like a radio interview, but obviously you, like we do, we can, pick and choose our guests, which is fantastic. I think it's hugely popular. I don't know how you stop picking people, because from my point of view, there's so many people that I want to talk to. Yeah, so how do you find them? And also, how long do your podcasts last for?
It's interesting, because the person who I knew best, who was the first person I interviewed, only lasted 25 minutes. But I think that was because I didn't really know where it was going. I'd also done a bit of research, and most people had come back to me and said they preferred a podcast that was 15 to 20 minutes. So, of course, all of mine are now 40 minutes to an hour. Because that's how long a conversation takes. You know, you can't...
Yeah, you can overdo it sometimes. People need little short bites, don't they?
Yeah, so they could listen in segments, but having that hour, that's where the conversation gets through the different parts. And choosing people, it's a mixture of people that I know. Other people recommend people to me as well. Yeah. And I also randomly, I saw somebody on Sunday brunch the other day who I thought, ooh, that would be really interesting. So I wrote to her agent and said, ooh, she'd like to come on my podcast. She works with Bear Grylls.
Oh, fantastic.
So her agent has come back to me and said she thinks that this author, well, this woman would be interested, but she's away. So I should find out at the beginning of next week whether she's interested or not.
Fantastic. And so how will you interview your guests? Do you do some of it online or face-to-face, or how does it work?
Yes,
for both. Our listeners out there who don't even know what a podcast is.
Yes, no, it's interesting. I spoke to somebody the other day who was saying that, what is a podcast, Deborah? So I do it either remotely, so online. I use a webinar tool because I like to see them, and it's much easier to at least feel like you're reacting to what they say. So I get the video recording and the audio recording. I do some face-to-face depending on the person and if we can find a place that's quiet enough, because what I've realized is that with the technology that I have, you know, I can't block out background noises and things like that. So if somebody's clinking in the background, you know, it's going to be an irritant. So,
yes,
so it's one of those two for me, depending on the
person. So it's very flexible.
Very.
So who, and isn't there another side to your business that you're offering to teach people how to create a podcast? So if there are people out there who have a business that they want to talk about their business via a podcast, you can help them with that.
Yes, I've just started with that now. The first course is going live on the 2nd of July. And basically what I realized, again, through doing this myself and also through talking to other people, is everybody says initially, oh, doing a podcast is really easy. And they're right. To record the podcast itself is really easy. But everything around it, to actually get the control and to get, so as I said about me needing to streamline, getting it so that, one, I contacted a guest, two, I got some information from them, I let them know where we were meeting, I reminded them about it, all of those things.
But it's setting up and connecting everything,
exactly.
I guess, that's because I'm not hugely technical, that's why lovely Dave is here, who is
controlling
more technical.
Exactly. It's taking all of the different tools that do that to make it streamlined. So the course is about helping people to come up with a concept, helping them to understand what they might want to do, why they're doing it, and then also taking them through what is your time commitment, what is the effort that you're going to need to put into this, so that in the first instance they can decide what to do.
Which is really... And so who would you suggest should do a podcast? What sort of... If we're speaking strictly business, who would you suggest should do a podcast?
I think anybody who's got something to say. So if you think that either you want to talk to people, you know, so you want to have guests on, you want to interview them and learn about them and share something that you believe will be of interest to other people, then a podcast is a brilliant way to do that. Or alternatively, so for like Maz, she could have a show where she wasn't necessarily interviewing people, but was actually, you know, talking about the food, talking about some of the inspiration behind what she'd done, and giving ideas to people.
I can imagine that with kitchen noises in the background, how... That would, because the voice itself is so amazing, and I think when you listen to just the voice, which is why I love radio, you're just concentrating on that voice. You're not being distracted by anything else. Your imagination is going. So I love the fact that podcasts and radio, it's everywhere. It's a great medium.
It is.
So if anybody is out there, then definitely they can come to you if they need help.
Yes, absolutely.
Just talking about your company, Bridge Road Consultants, I have to say I love your logo.
Thank you very much.
I love your logo.
So how, beautiful bridge.
Yes. How did that, did someone create that for you? Or?
It's actually a photo that I took on a trip to Paris. So it's of one of the little bridges going over the, I think it's the Canal Saint-Martin. Yeah. And it just, it came out that it's got the, because of the lighting, that it's got the shapes of the people.
So you'd think that would have been designed. It's absolutely perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm rather, somebody was going to give me feedback on something a few months ago, and I said, is it about my bridge people? Because if it is, I might cry. She's like, no, it's okay.
But I love it that you're bridging the gap, you're bridging that communication gap between people. You're, I mean, this podcast, which is obviously your new venture, I think it should be hugely successful. I think people have got to embrace it and get their heads around it if they've never thought of it. But I think it's a great idea. Yes,
thank you
really
very
good.
Much.
Have and you enjoyed all your interviews so
I
far?
Have. I've, they're such different people. You know, I've interviewed somebody who, he was Swedish. He started off in ballet school at 8, knowing that that's where his career was going to go, into ballet. He was the artistic director of the English National Ballet. I think he was also the artistic director of the New Zealand Ballet. And now has gone into coaching. So just, you know, his experience in itself is so different to anything else. And everybody's got that different background. You know, Holly, who came out of university not knowing what she wanted to do, got a loan from Prince's Trust and is now doing, you know, really fantastically as if, I can't say it, a videographer.
Yes, that is quite a hard word, isn't it? Depending on how many glasses of wine you've had. I haven't had any, I could say it. So that's so lovely. So would you be revisiting them, perhaps, and interviewing them again further down the line, do you think?
That's what I'm hoping. So because this is just my, I one of the things that I had read about was to do your podcast in seasons or series so that you could actually have a break.
Yeah.
So my first season will end at the end of July. And what I'm now thinking about is the second one and wondering, do I do a little segment maybe at the end, which is, you know, somebody coming back if they had something that was, you know, they were talking about that they, you know, maybe want to give an update on, or we just want to update people on what they did.
I think that's a good idea. A little bit of extra info that, follow-ups, I think, are really good.
Well, that's what I thought would give the connection to flow through, wouldn't it?
So, excellent. Well, we are actually coming. We're running out of time now. I can't believe it's gone so quick. Thank you so much, Deborah.
You're
but
very welcome.
As we are running out of time, we really need to ask you if you've got any particular advice that you might like to share with our listeners and how they might get into podcasting themselves or via you, of course.
I think that if you want to get into podcasting, the first thing to think about is, what do you want to get out of it? Because I think with all things business, well, actually, and personal in a lot of ways, knowing why you're doing it and what you're expecting to achieve then drives how much energy you want to put into it, what you're going to talk about, and, you know, are you expecting, you know, loads of business to come in? So I think really understanding that in the first instance.
Well, I think that's really great. And actually, Maz said earlier, just get out and do it. And we also need your website. How would people get in touch with you?
So if they're specifically interested in starting their own podcast, they can go to startyourownpodcast.bridginggaps.uk. And if they just want to get in touch with me, they can go to bridginggaps.uk.
Okay, well, we'll have all of this information on Facebook, our Facebook pages, etc. But thank you very much, Deborah, for coming onto the show. And, of course, we'd love to have you back again in the future. We're now going to take a short ad break, after which I'll be talking to Shalini about all things spiritual and her new book.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Do you own or work for a company? If so, you'll know that finding and keeping customers is at the heart of your success. With OmniLocal Business Networking, you'll have a unique opportunity to meet up to 30 potential customers over breakfast and connect with their customers too. So come and try a meeting near you for just £12, including breakfast and a free training seminar. Meetings are fast, informal and most of all profitable. Telephone 07900 31 26 34. Or visit our website to learn more and see what people are saying about how we've helped them grow their business. Omni, that's OMNI, Local Business Networking, where local businesses connect to succeed.
Do you have a leaky roof or dripping gutter? Then contact Roofcraft of Surrey. We are a family-run business who specialise in all aspects of roofing, from replacing a roof tile to a complete new roof, soffits, fascias and guttering. All work is carried out by qualified and professional craftsmen within tight timescales and budgets. And we are proud to belong to five official trade bodies, including Trust a Trader. Visit roofcraftofsurrey.co.uk or call 01372 889698 and be amazed at what we can do. Roofcraft of Surrey, keeping a roof over your head.
Hi, Dan here. Join me every Tuesday evening from 6 till 8 for great music and anything else that catches my eye. At 6.30, we'll have the Amdram shout-out, a chance for a local theatre group to let you know what they're up to. From 7, it's the 80s hour. Spend your Tuesday evenings with me, Dan Curtis, on Brooklands Radio.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello, welcome back to Just Women with me, Mandy Dineley. I'd now like to welcome our lovely guest, Shalini Bala, who is co-founder of Just Joom. And Shalini, welcome to the show. It's really lovely to have you here. We'd really like you to tell us a little bit about your background. And of course, we're really keen to hear about your new book that you've written.
Thank you, Mandy.
Called Always With You. Is
yes,
that right?
So it
welcome.
Is.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes. I founded Just Joom about 8 years ago. It's a Bollywood dance fitness program. And we trained about 300 instructors to run classes around the country. It came about when I suffered from depression myself, and dance became my lifeline, really. I was working in the corporate world, trying to hit lots of targets, had a nervous breakdown, was hospitalized with clinical depression. Mm. And so dance was my way back, really. And once I found good mental health again and found that I was able to cope, I wanted to share that with other people. And the best way to do that was to start teaching and then training other instructors to teach classes around the country. So it's been a very successful 8 years.
So how did you find the people that you needed to find to start your dancing, or did you just get on and do it?
Well, I was teaching Bollywood dance fitness in a village, Cranley, not far from here, actually. And one day I was unable to teach a class because I was really ill and I was bedridden. And I thought, I've got to find somebody who can cover my classes. Mm. And I'd like to train somebody to do that. But I never do things by half. And I decided, okay, what I'll do is I'll write a syllabus on Bollywood dance fitness. And then I thought, well, I don't want to just write a syllabus. I want to make it well known and accredited. Mm-hmm. So I wrote the syllabus and it was accredited. It was the first accredited course in the world by the Register of Exercise Professionals here in the UK.
Gosh, that's fantastic.
And because it was accredited, we then found that a lot of dance teachers and fitness instructors wanted to train in Just Joom. And so we started getting calls. Mm-hmm. And I started running training courses all over the country. And it just grew from there. It was quite phenomenal.
There's so much energy with Bollywood dancing, isn't there? And the music is incredible. I find it amazingly uplifting.
That's exactly the word for it. It is very uplifting. And you can come into a class and be really quite miserable. And by the end of it, you're laughing and smiling. You've had a good workout. And you've worked your body and your mind. Mm. And I also will say it's a mind, body and spirit workout.
Yeah.
So it has been very successful. And we still have over 100, 150 instructors running classes around the country now.
You?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's still very successful.
That is successful,
yeah.
Isn't it? That's
yeah.
Huge. So are they all over, right up north?
Yes, we've got one in Inverness, we've got somebody in Cornwall, so we've got somebody in Wales, so yes, really all over the place.
Fantastic.
So it's very you can get a Just Joom class pretty much anywhere in the country.
I actually love Bollywood music. It's it's something that I do enjoy. My husband been to India quite a few times.
Oh, okay.
He loves it out there. And I think, you know, the way things are in this country at the moment, we're being introduced to so many gorgeous things, and it's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? That
yeah.
we have got access to all of this, you know, the different types of fitness.
Yeah, I think we're very lucky in the UK. I think the general public, and we are very much oriented to women, and women are very open to trying new things. So they try, your first guest talked about Zumba, that became really big, and then Just Joom, they were very open to it. So we are just willing to try new things, and I think that's great, and that's why Just Joom was so successful.
Yes.
So for me, that was a really important part of my own mental health as well, because being physically well is important. It was a mental workout as well. But the other way I did made sure that depression didn't become part of me really all the time was I started doing mindfulness and meditation. When I found that really worked for me, I started teaching that as well.
Yes.
So I've done courses on mindfulness and meditation around Surrey, and I also now have an online training course. And also the Just Joom instructor course is now a Teach Bollywood Dance course, which has gone online as well. So everything's gone online.
So who introduced you to the mindfulness, or did you search for it yourself to try and help you?
Yeah, so whilst I was running Just Joom, it's when you run your own company, you find that you are, it's hard. It's not going to be, oh yes, I'm going to work for 4 hours a day. No. I was actually working 16 hours, and I found I was getting those same symptoms, getting up at 3 in the morning, not being able to sleep, beginning to feel anxiety. So the same symptoms I had when I first was diagnosed with clinical depression. So I knew I had to do something. I had certain coping skills. So I looked online and I found an online, free online training course by Deepak Chopra, who's well known. And he said, sit down and we're going to do 15 minutes. And I thought, well, 15 minutes meditation, how hard can that be? Well, really hard, actually.
Was it?
It was really tough. 1 minute, and I was I was like, okay, I'm bored of this. I've got loads of hundreds of other things to do. But I persevered, and over the time, over a few weeks, I was able to do 15 minutes, and then 20, 30, and then an hour. And it's a bit like training at a gym. You go to the gym. You're not going to pick up the heaviest weight straight away. You're going to start. You're going to start really, really at the beginning with the lightest weight. So same with mindfulness and meditation. You start with just a minute. Just see if you can be calm and quiet for a minute, and then 5, and then 10, and then one day you're sitting there and you realize that you've been meditating for an hour, and it's the most. It is the most rejuvenating and spiritually it's the most calming thing for you. But don't expect to do it straight away. That's just, and there are days now even when an hour is just impossible for me.
So do you have a special place that you will sit and do your mindfulness session? And do you do it on your own or do you do it with other people?
No, so mindfulness is you can sit down and eat a meal mindfully. If you really want to, you could drink a glass of wine mindfully and you'll get a completely different experience from it. Sitting down and doing formal meditation, yes. I go into my conservatory, I have a little table, I have some natural things, a plant there, a statue of Buddha, a candle, but that's just my choice. You don't really have to have that. But going to one, you go to the kettle to make a cup of tea.
Yes.
So I go to this table to meditate, and so I get into the zone pretty quickly.
I love the sound of that. So you can drink, you can have a glass of water and drink it slowly, thoughtfully.
Exactly that.
Gratefully.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
And you're grateful for each sip that you're having. I really highly recommend trying it with wine. It's wonderful.
I'll do that tonight, yeah. I don't have to get up early in the morning. I might try that.
Yeah, so that, and I actually find that instead of drinking a whole bottle, a glass is actually enough because you've appreciated it rather than drinking the glass mindlessly.
Yes.
And you find that by the third glass, where did the glass go? It's a bit like eating a packet of crisps. Before you know it, you're on the last crisp. Whereas if you eat a packet of crisps mindfully, you might find you actually don't like them very much.
Actually, that makes complete sense. I mean, you could apply that to everything. If you're driving and you're not looking at what's around you, then you've got to your destination and not enjoyed the journey.
Yeah.
I suppose it's
autopilot. It's exactly that. We live our lives on autopilot.
We do.
We eat on autopilot. We drive on autopilot. We talk on autopilot. We don't even listen.
Yes.
So it's about now stopping and saying, autopilot's not good enough.
Mm.
Because I've had, going on to the book, I've had a lot of loss in my life in the last 2 years. And what you realize is life is very precious, and this is it. The day you have today, this could be it. And instead of going through it in autopilot, let's just take our time and enjoy each moment and really cherish each moment, because we don't know when this is going to be finished. So for me, it's living mindfully has become a way of life. Mm.
And can you tell us about your book? Because we've always with you. Can you tell us how and why you've started to write this book?
Yes. So 2 years ago, actually 23 months ago, this Thursday, my husband passed away, Jeremy. He had renal cancer. And after a two-year battle, he passed away. So for me, for 18 months, almost 12 months, I became quite reclusive. And the only thing that really saw me through those 18 months was going to teach my Just Zoom classes, because that was my sort of 3 hours out of the house. And the other thing was I started writing. And for 4 months last year, from September to December, I just wrote. I wrote 90,000 words.
Wow.
And I wrote about my meeting Jeremy, how he was the most unsuitable boy. I was Indian, he was English, he was twice my age, he was divorced, he had 3 children. Really, I couldn't have picked anybody that my parents would have disapproved of more. But we fell in love, and he was my soulmate. We were together for 19 years. And I know that if he was alive today, we still would be. We still are spiritually. Yes. I feel very much he is part of me still.
Yeah.
Hence the title, Always With You. And so I started writing the book, and it will be published. I'm self-publishing. It'll be out next week.
Oh, next week?
Yeah, so it's very
Can you get it in a physical copy and on Kindle?
Yes, so they'll both be available next week on Amazon,
right,
and also on the Just Zoom website.
Oh, I should definitely be looking out for that. Yes.
So it tells a story of us falling in love, but it also talks about his cancer, mm-hmm. How I was a carer, bereavement and grief. And grief is such a big subject. I think in the Western world, we don't talk about death enough.
No, we don't. No.
It's very much a taboo subject. So we need to start talking about. I have this saying that in life we have two visitors who come into our lives that we've not asked them to come into our lives. One is love, and one is death. So they just turn up on your doorstep.
That's very powerful. I think what you've said just there, it is hugely powerful. It really is thought-provoking, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't know what's around the corner.
So. No, and we do need to start really talking a little bit more about death, not in a morbid way, but in an acceptable way.
To make it more of a something that is here. When people don't talk about it, I think it makes it hard for those people that do want to talk about it, because you writing the book, obviously that's part of your grieving process, isn't it? The cathartic.
Yes. Well, yes, it was cathartic, but also I think what we have to remember is this is the cycle of life and death. It's going to happen to all of us. And we need to learn to talk about it, because people don't know what to say.
No.
Time will heal. What does that mean? Or you're still young, you'll find somebody else. Don't say things like that.
People don't know
what to say. They don't know what to say.
And they'll say the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Because they're worried about not saying anything.
Exactly.
Or they won't say anything.
Or they'll cross the road. And
why do you think we're so bad in this country? I think we're getting better. But why do you think we find it so hard to talk about death?
I don't know what it is. I think it's just something we don't want to think about. Mm. And I think actually if we look at it and say, actually, this is part of the cycle. And I sat with Jeremy for 3 hours and I said to him, let go. Whereas what I was really wanting to say and my heart was breaking was don't leave me. But really, we have to find a way to say, actually, I understand you have to let go, your body also I think, and this is my own personal view, is that I see Jeremy having left me as a physical departure. Spiritually, I believe that I will see him again.
I think we have to believe that. And I think there's something out there that we don't even know about yet, but we feel it. And I think that is something that's so important.
Yes.
Isn't it, to know that this isn't the end?
Yes, I think for me it's the way forward. I feel that it's helped me with my grieving. Not everybody will believe that, and that's absolutely fine. For some people they think it's a black hole, and that's absolutely fine. But it's having, it's fear, I think. It's fear of death that stops us talking about it, I think.
I think if we talk about it, we think it's going to happen to us.
Yes.
But it's going to happen
anyway.
Some point. But it's, your story, it's so emotive, and it's, it's so sad, someone taken from you when you are so young. But, you know, the fact that you've written this book, hopefully it will help other people.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I lost my father in February to cancer as well. And for me, that was a turning point because both Jeremy and my father, they didn't want to die. They wanted to live. Mm. So we owe it to them. We owe it to all those people who've gone before us to live and to live a good life and a compassionate life and to make a real difference. And that difference might be very small, but it is making a difference. And in Jeremy's name, I've set up an education fund in Kenya where we now have put money to educate 12 children to go through the secondary school education. Because
wow,
I want a legacy in his name.
Yes.
So it's about making a difference, I think, in this short while that we have here, whether that's 20 years, 40 years or 80 years, who knows. So let's really make a difference whilst we're here. But let's also have some fun. Let's live fully.
Because we are living.
Absolutely.
And like you said, we owe it to them.
Yeah.
You owe it to your lovely husband.
To my husband.
Yes.
There's a lovely saying in Hindi. It's and I won't say it in Hindi, I'll say it in English, but it's live life to the fullest. It's not how long the life is, it's how big the life is that you lead. So let's live big lives.
That's really lovely. Thank you, Shalini. Thank you very much for your honesty and for sharing your story. Anybody out there, you know, who wants to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you?
So the best way is via the website, which is justjoom.co.uk, which is just JHOOM.co.uk and info@justjoom.co.uk. But look out for the book, Always With You. It'll be on Amazon next week.
And you've got details of the book on the website
as
well.
Absolutely. And there's excerpts on there as well, so you can start looking at the first few chapters already.
I wish you every success with the book.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll love to have you back on later on and find out how the book's been going and how you are. More importantly.
Absolutely, I'd love to come back. Thank you.
So thank you very much. We've done the get in touch bit, so we'd like to thank you once again, Shalini, for coming onto the show, and as I said, we'd love to have you back in the future. Thank you very much. So we'd really like to thank all of our guests today. It's been a really lovely show. Thank you to our three fantastic guests. So that's Maz Pennington, Deborah Levitt and Shalini Bala. And also thank you so much to our honorary Just Woman, Dave Jimitis. Thank you, Dave, as always, who has produced the show today, making sure that everything happens at the right time. And as always, we're really keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone who you think should be on our show, please do email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them. You can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. And if you are on our page, please do remember to like us. If you are there, we like likes. So thank you for listening. And please join us again next week for Just Women. That's live at 1 p.m. on Tuesday and repeated at 8 p.m. on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dineley, and goodbye from Dave, who's smiling.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.